Today is the day before the appearance of Lord Nrisingadev, Sri Bhagavan Nrisingadev. And it is what we say ceremoniously and also following the instructions of His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, we are honoring a very special devotee. Special in the sense that Prabhupada never gave any really, well, I can't say he never gave, but he only gave one, what we say, announcement that we should honor one of his disciples' disappearance. Prabhupada was here from 1965 to 1977, and he had many disciples who were quite illustrious. Of course, many of them left the planet after Srila Prabhupada, but one left before Prabhupada, and that was Jayananda Prabhu. Jayananda was a devotee that it's hard to describe his glories because there are so many. It's hard to describe actually his character because his character was something that was the essence of Krishna consciousness. Jayananda was a person who came to Prabhupada in 1967. He came from an upper middle class family. In other words, his parents were quite wealthy. He went to college. He was very intelligent, very good looking, and very, very strong, physically built strong. And he went to college in Ohio State University in Columbus, Ohio. But he was never, what we say, satisfied with all the glamour of becoming successful in the material world. In fact, it didn't at all attract him at all. He was kind of lost. He had a good degree in mechanical engineering, but took a job as a cab driver. We asked him why one time. He said, "I never could fit into that upper class category." He didn't feel comfortable with that type of association. And he's very simple. In 1967, he was feeling really unhappy and maybe even suicidal. And then he happened to read a news article, or actually a flyer announcing Srila Prabhupada's coming to Ohio State University. After he graduated, he went to San Francisco. And when he was in San Francisco, he read this article. And when he came and he heard Prabhupada, he understood, this is what I'm looking for. Although he said he was never really spiritually inclined, but Prabhupada changed his whole life simply by meeting Prabhupada and hearing the philosophy of Krishna consciousness spoken by Srila Prabhupada. His mind and his heart completely changed. And he wanted to dedicate his life. In 1967, he surrendered his whole life to Prabhupada. And at that time, Prabhupada had just finished the Nectar of Devotion. And Prabhupada did not have the money for the printing. And Prabhupada needed money. And in those days, nobody had any money. Why? Because everyone who was coming to Prabhupada was mostly street people who were hippies and people who were just rejected by society, lived a very, what we say, unproductive material life. The thing was, tune in, turn on, and drop out. tune in to LSD, turn on to LSD, and drop out of life. And these are the kind of people that Prabhupada mostly attracted. In San Francisco was, we could say, the word is bastion, or the place where all the hippies would gather. It was known as Haight-Ashbury. In fact, practically the whole area was just, you know, clubs and places where these types of people would hang out on the streets. And Prabhupada got a temple there in 1967. And there was a few devotees at that time, not too many. And after completing his nectar devotion, Jayananda just happened to join the temple at that time, and he had a large savings. At least in those days it was quite large. It was $5,000. $5,000 is easily worth $50,000 today, as the, what we say, the rate of money has changed a lot in proportion to the time. So he gave the whole $5,000 to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada was so happy. And then he used it to print Nectar Devotion. And then Jayananda joined the temple. But he was not a full-time devotee because the temple really needed money at the time. So he would drive his cab all day, his cab driver, and he would give his entire money, everything he earned, to the temple at the end of the week. He kept nothing for himself. And then he would come to the temple and do various services. One time, the kind of services he would do was the very menial services. He would wash the dishes. He would take out the trash. He would clean the kitchen. He would, inspire other devotees to do different services. And one time they asked him to become temple president. He said, "Oh no, that's not for me." He never wanted position. He only wanted service, that's all. And he worked hard. That was one of the qualities of Jayananda. You could never see him doing nothing. The time he got up in the morning, he would chant his rounds. And then he would go to the class, and then he would go out and work the whole day. And then, of course, drive his cab and then come back at night and then just do more service. Finally, he left his cab driving job and became a member of the temple. And then he was doing full-time service. And he would always push the other devotees forward and encourage the other devotees in so many ways. One thing about Jayananda, he had a really strong liking for prasadam. He loved prasadam. And he would consume very large quantities of prasadam. And he would also encourage the other devotees to eat as much as possible. One time one devotee was, they were working outside. I think they were building a Rath Yatra car. One devotee named Jambavan. And he gave him a huge plate of prasadam. And he filled it up, packed it up. It was piled high. And the devotee, he's thinking, "Oh, I'm going to eat this?" And Jayananda just encouraged him, "No, prasadam is Krishna. You should eat it. It's actually very tasty and you'll feel so happy." So he finished the whole plate. And then Jayananda put a second plate, the same size, in front of him again. And he said, "Now you have to finish this one." So the devotee could hardly even finish the first one, but Jayananda was so encouraging that he finished the second plate too. And he used to say, Prabhupada said we should take prasadam so we can't even walk. But he worked so hard, not like you take prasadam and then you sleep. He would go to bed. No one would see him take rest at night because he was always the last one up. Everyone else was sleeping. And he would be the first one up in the morning. So no one saw him take rest, no one saw him get up. Because he was the last one to sleep and the first one up. Usually he would sleep, 2-3 hours a night. And he would just serve the whole day. He would like to, when he was with the devotees and working, he would always be talking about Krishna. He would love to read Krishna book. And he, after he left his body, they found this in his pocket. They found it in the cover or the jacket of his Krishna book. And he wrote these different things about Krishna book, he said. As you begin to apply the book's clearly described principles to your life, you will quickly experience a new realm of mental poise and experience an inner happiness, even in the midst of the most trying circumstances. Point two, you'll worry less and enjoy more. Three, your power of concentration, memory, understanding, and creativity will increase. Four, you'll work more energetically, more confidently and efficiently, as well as relate better to people. Five, and you'll succeed more easily at whatever you're trying to do. Six, at night you'll fall asleep immediately, and in the morning you'll awake thoroughly refreshed with even less hours sleep than you normally need. Seven, consequently you will understand the real purpose of your life and your unique role in creation. That's what he wrote about Krishna book. One of the main qualities of Jayananda is that he never liked to be praised. He never liked to be praised. And if somebody started to praise Jayananda, he would immediately leave. One time, he was with Dhanavir Maharaj, who was just Dhanavir Prabhu at the time, and someone started to praise him, Jayananda, because he used to work so hard and always friendly with every devotee, encourage everyone, always bring everyone prasadam, talk to everyone about Krishna, and whenever there was a service to be needed to be done, he was the first one to do it and always ready to organize all the other devotees to help. And so when he was praised this one time, he looked at Dhanavir and said, "Yeah, devotees, they like to say nice things. That's the way devotees are." He considered it just the way devotees were appreciating, but he never considered himself worthy of any praise. One thing you never did around Jayananda is criticize another devotee. And that's one thing he could understand. He wouldn't say anything to you, but if you were criticizing, talking badly about anybody, he would immediately leave. He never liked to hear his own praise. He never liked to hear criticism of another devotee. It's really hard to describe Jayananda. I was always on the other side of the country, on the east side, and he was on the west side. So actually, I never really met him, although we were serving at the same time. But I would hear about him and his glories. There's actually a beautiful book, full length 300-page book about the life of Jayananda that was published by one of my godbrothers called Vishok. And that book is, if you did a little research, you can probably find the book. There are many, many stories about Jayananda's, how much people loved him, not only the devotees, but also people in general. He never liked to waste money. He would never waste money. He would go down to the markets to get the boga for the temple. And he would always talk to the Italian, what we say, they were the Italian marketers. They were mostly all Italians. And he would talk to them and become friendly with them, and they would give him all kinds of stuff. One time he came back with 4 truckloads of bananas and all kinds of other vegetables and fruit and stuff like that. One time, and sometimes they would see the other devotees and they say, "Where is Johnny Ananda?" They would call him Johnny Ananda. Like that. He was friendly to everyone, and he was always very encouraging. He chanted his rounds. When he would chant his rounds, he would sit down And he would not move until he finished 16 rounds. He sat in one place and he would be in concentration, absorbed in the holy name. He loved to chant. He was known, Prabhupada said, for the Rath Yatra, we should take his picture and put it in front of all the Rath Yatra carts. So you'll see that now through all ISKCON, wherever there's a Rath Yatra, right? I know in America, every Rath Yatra, and there's so many Rath Yatras in the United States, every week, like sometimes 2-3 Rath Yatras a week throughout the whole summer season and into the fall season. Everyone has a picture of Jayananda on the front. It's always because he was known as the king of Rath Yatra. He built and designed the first Rath Yatra cart, and later which became the Rath Yatra cart that was used for the Rath Yatras after that. In 1976, Prabhupada wanted to make a big, what we say, statement, and he wanted to have Rath Yatra in New York. And we had never had Rath Yatra in New York before. And so some of the devotees really worked hard and really got not only Rath Yatra in New York, but the main street in New York, which was Fifth Avenue, the most biggest business section of America practically at the time. We got permission to have three carts down Fifth Avenue in New York. And Jayananda was the one that organized the building of the carts, because we always had to build the carts from scratch. And he would get the wood and he would organize. And sometimes it was not enough devotees to help. And so when people would be walking along the street, he would say, "You want to do some service for God? Come on." And he was so encouraging and so friendly. He was just himself. Natural, friendly, encouraging, and at the same time, always working harder than anybody. And people would come. One time he was working late in the evening, and he was underneath the cart, fixing a cart, and two hippies walked along. And they looked and see what he was doing. And then he started preaching Krishna consciousness to them. While he was working under the cart, he's speaking about Krishna. And they're out there listening. They can't see him, only his legs. And he's talking about Krishna. And they stayed just listening to him, because there was something about him that was very, very attractive. I think you might say because he was so friendly and so non-envious. Although he had good intelligence, physically, he was very strong, very attractive. He had all good qualities, but he always wanted the other devotees to have the positions. When Prabhupada would come to the temple, he wouldn't go see Prabhupada. Prabhupada would say, "Where's Jayananda?" And they would look for Jayananda. And they would say, "Prabhupada wants to see." He would say, "Oh, I'm so fallen. I'm so dirty. I can't go see Prabhupada." That was his humility. But then Prabhupada would be insistent he would come, and he would stay, and then he would go quickly so he could go back to his service. Because he knew, you know, a lot of times the devotees thought we should get as much association with Prabhupada as they could, so they would stay there for a long time, and Prabhupada would be there. But he would just be always serving. Always serving, always doing something, always keeping the temple going, keeping enlivening the other devotees. I remember he wasn't a devotee at the time. He became a devotee. He was a hippie in San Francisco. And Jayananda was out on the streets and he met him. And this boy hadn't taken a bath in 1 month. That was hippiedom. One of the things that you were not allowed to do was bathe. That was against the principles of becoming a hippie. usually because they were always taking drugs, and so they didn't really care for their bodies so much. So he met Jayananda, and Jayananda brought him back to the temple and threw him in the shower, gave him a bath, and then fed him nice prasadam. And he remembers it to this day. I remember I used to serve with this devotee. We were at the same temple in Columbus, Ohio together. And he would tell me about how Jayananda picked him off the street and gave him a bath and fed him nice prasadam. He always had prasadam with him. He always give prasadam to the guests, to the merchants. When he would go down to get the boga, he would always bring them large amounts of prasadam. He ate a lot and he distributed a lot. He loved prasadam. He always said, prasadam is Krishna. This is the most wonderful thing. He loved prasadam. So in 1976, we finally got the New York City permission to have Ratha Yatra. Until to this day, even now, even every year now, we still have that same place for Ratha Yatra because, Prabhupada wanted it in 1976. And then he was building the carts, and it was late in the evening, 5, 6, 7 o'clock, and devotees were working late. And finally, everything finished at about 6 o'clock in the evening. And the Ratha Yatra was the next morning, around 10 o'clock. But what happened was a big, gigantic wind came off the Hudson River. It was right near the river there and knocked over Balaram's cart and smashed the cart. The whole chassis was broken and all the pipes were twisted. The cart was pretty much destroyed. Jayananda, he gathered a few devotees, and they worked the whole night, all the way up until 6 o'clock the next morning, rebuilding the whole cart, just in time for everyone to get ready for preparing for the Ratha Yatra. And he was like that. He never, if there was any service to do, he was there to do it. One time, a new man came to the temple, and the temple president said, you should go out and help Jayananda with taking out the trash. That's what he would do mostly, take out garbage. Clean the kitchen, inspire other devotees. He did everything. There's nothing he didn't do. But he always liked to do the most menial work, and he gave all the big positions to the other devotees. And then this new person was working with Jayananda, and he came back and he said, wow, if the trash man is so nice, I can imagine what the rest of the devotees are like. So he entered the hearts of everybody. It was just, I can't really say personally about my experience with him because I never had him, but devotees talk about him. And they just like sometimes Lord Chaitanya would like to glorify a devotee. And when devotees talk about Jayananda, it sounds like they have five mouths. Lord Chaitanya sometimes he would speak of the glories of a devotee, and it sounds sometimes it would be compared to a person glorifying one person with five different mouths. And that was Jayananda. He always was, everyone loved Jayananda, and Jayananda loved everyone. That was the wonderful thing. His service attitude, he never liked to waste money. He knew, Prabhupada's program was never to waste even a penny. So he would always make sure things were done in the best way without wasting money. One time they had to rent a truck to do some moving, and the truck cost $50 a day for the rental. So the devotees were so tired from working that whole day that at the end of the, during the evening, they just wanted to rest. But there was more work to do. So Jayananda said, no, we have to finish the work today because if we keep the truck another day, it's going to cost another $50. So the devotees were saying, oh, Jayananda wants us to work. Okay. So they would go out and they would just, he never pushed people. He always, sometimes he used prasadam to encourage people. In fact, he always used prasadam. One story, there was one devotee, he worked so hard and he just fell asleep without eating that night. And the devotee was sleeping. At midnight, Jayananda woke him up and stuck a samosa in his mouth. Here, have some prasad. So that was it. That was his qualities. Very friendly, always caring for the devotees, hard working, never wanted any recognition. One time, Prabhupada came into San Francisco, and Jayananda was driving the car to pick up Prabhupada. So Prabhupada was sitting in the back seat, and Prabhupada said, "Who is driving?" And the devotee said, "That's Jayananda." "Oh, Jayananda. He gave me $5,000 to print my Bhagavad Gita when we first opened our temple in San Francisco." Prabhupada was very pleased. And then, of course, we mentioned earlier that Prabhupada gave him a distinction that no other devotee ever had, and that is that he left his body in May 1977. It was May 1st, 1977. And Prabhupada wrote a letter and said, and this is the letter, I'll read the letter. This is Srila Prabhupada writing. He's writing to Jayananda. Jayananda has already passed away. Listen to this letter. "My dear Jayananda, please accept my blessings. I'm feeling very intensely your separation. In 1967, you joined me in San Francisco. You were driving my car and chanting Hare Krishna. You were the first man to give me some contribution, $5,000 for printing my Bhagavad Gita. After that, you have rendered favorable service to Krishna in different ways. I so hope that at the time of your death, you were remembering Krishna, and as such, you have been promoted to the eternal association of Krishna. If not, if you have any tinge of material desire, you have gone to the celestial kingdom to live with the demigods for many thousands of years and enjoy the most opulent life of material existence. From there, you can promote yourself to the spiritual world. But even if one fails to promote himself to the spiritual world, at that time he comes down again on the surface of this globe and takes birth in a big family like a yogi's or a brahmana's or an aristocratic family where there is again chance of reviving Krishna consciousness. But as you were hearing Krishna kirtan, I am sure that you were directly promoted to Krishna loka. Janma karma chameu divyam devam yo vekti tatvataha taktva deham purna janman naiti mam eti chasarjuna." Prabhupada ends, "Krishna has done a great favor to you not to continue your diseased body and has given you a suitable place for your service. Thank you very much, your ever well wisher, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami." Imagine getting a letter like that from Prabhupada. That's how much Prabhupada understood the qualities of this Vaishnava. He was very special, and Prabhupada could understand that and glorified him. We can see this letter. Prabhupada said, "I'm sure Krishna has taken you back to Krishna loka, because he always loved kirtan. He always loved to read Krishna book. That was his favorite book. He carried Krishna book everywhere he went. And he would always be reading Krishna book and talking to others about Krishna book." On a personal level, I had my first disciple in 2006 in Denver, Colorado. And she was a person who had a job as a hospice. That means people who are dying. She would take care of dying people. And so this happened about 8 years ago. I think it was around 2007, 2008. One lady came and she took care of this person. And then she found out that this lady was actually the mother of Jayananda. And then when she heard that, and she said, "Oh, you're Jayananda's mother? We have heard so much about your son." And she started to glorify Jayananda in front of his mother. The mother was so amazed and so happy. And then the relatives were also there, his brother and his brother's wife. And they heard that, and then they were just amazed, because they also knew about Hare Krishna, and they also knew that their son, their relative, went to the Hare Krishnas, but they didn't see him too much. Now, hearing about how important he was and how much he was loved in the Hare Krishna movement, they were so happy. And so Jayananda's mother actually passed away, and my disciple actually took care. So it's an interesting point, because here's a lady who produced a son that was one of the most glorious devotees in our movement. And Krishna arranged for his mother to get in taking care of a devotee at the end of her life. Pretty amazing. And then, at the ceremony for the passing away of the mother, they asked this devotee to speak. And she came and spoke about Jayananda and about the Hare Krishna movement. Because the relatives became more and more interesting, wanting to find out about their brother, their friend, like that. So that was interesting. And she told me about that, and I was amazed. I published a few things that she had written during that time. Okay, so, I mean, there's much to be said about Jayananda in so many different ways. But that's the essence. There are many, many different stories of Jayananda, how he helped devotees. He worked 10, 12, 14 hours a day, easy. Always working hard, always encouraging all the devotees, never criticizing, never wanting praise, never wanting position, always in the background, always wanting the other devotees to get all the credit. That was Jayananda. When the people on the streets, the Italian merchants and others heard that Jayananda left their body, they cried. Some of them actually cried. He entered the hearts of everybody. He made everyone feel they were special. And even the ordinary workers who weren't even devotees, when they heard Jayananda left, they actually started to cry. One time, when devotees were chanting in the streets, he would go out in Harinam. He loved Harinam. And one very huge, gigantic person, he was about 300 pounds, huge guy, with a beard, and he was drunk. And he was going to do something to the Sankirtan group. So he was walking, and he came, and Jayananda came right up to him, and he looked in the eyes of Jayananda, and he said, "Stop this chanting!" And Jayananda said, "Chant Hare Krishna! Chant Hare Krishna!" And the man just turned around and walked away. He's fearless. He was fearless. He wasn't afraid, because he knew, I'm chanting Hare Krishna, and Krishna's here. So we're going to chant Hare Krishna. So this was Jayananda. There's so many wonderful stories. And he's mostly noted for, he's mainly noted for so many things, but he is mostly noted for organizing Rathyatras, for building the Rathyatra carts, for just encouraging everyone to surrender more and more. He made the devotees just want to serve. Sometimes he would bribe them with prasadam. That was Jayananda. So these are a few things. So today is his actual disappearance day. You can probably go online and look for things. You'll find a lot of stories and experiences written by devotees about Jayananda. In America, he's very much glorified, although on this particular day. So That's pretty much it. I can go through and give you more and more details of the same thing. He's very humble, friend to all, King of Rathiyatra. These were some of his titles that he got. His relationship with Prabhupada was very special. He never wanted to be always with Prabhupada. He always wanted to serve Prabhupada. He had only good qualities. But in 1976, he came down with leukemia. And he was still, even though he was in leukemia, he was in the wheelchair, he was still preaching Krishna consciousness. And even though he was sick, he organized the Los Angeles Rathiyatra, which was the first Rathiyatra in Los Angeles in 1976 also. So even from a position of dying, he was organizing the Rathiyatra. That was Jayananda. He had such attachments to Krishna consciousness. Okay. Any comments or questions? Yes, Mother. I think it says the life of Jayananda. But the author is Vishok, V-I-S-O-K-A, Vishoka Das. But there's other books. There's other written periodicals about his life done by Danista. Danista's work is not so much circulated around, but Vishok's book traveled throughout the ISKCON world. That's a beautiful book. It tells so many stories of Jayananda. You can probably look it up. Just punch in Jayananda on Google, and you'll probably get a lot of references like that. I had a question. Yeah. Of Jayananda, yeah. I didn't see it, but it's near which place? Near the samadhis there? The tree.
And the opposite, near the boundary, opposite to Jagannath Temple,
Rajput. Oh, okay. And that's outside of Mayapur complex, then.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay, yeah, in Rajpur. Yeah, in Rajpur. Yeah, so, I mean, he's, when you think of Rathiyatra, you think of Jayananda. You think of Rathiyatra. He designed the first Rathiyatra cart, and he made Rathiyatra happen all over the world. Actually, in America at that time, and then later, Prabhupada took it around the world. Any comments or questions or anything? He was expert at cooking, preaching, worship, deity worship, public relationships, sankirtan, selling incense, construction, and everything else it takes to run a temple. He was a tireless worker. He would be the first one up in the morning and the last one to sleep. It was Jayananda who was always running out to get the flowers. Jayananda was washing the dishes, making sure the kitchen was clean. He was always missing in class while he was always doing service. And Jayananda was always encouraging others to go out and preach. And he was setting the example himself. I was fortunate to come across a tape lecture of a lecture that he gave a class on. And he doesn't preach very, like, you know, philosophically. He preaches very simple. But because of his purity, when you hear his preaching, you're actually absorbed. He speaks simply. He had such faith in Prabhupada, he had such faith in chanting, he had such faith in the whole process of devotional service. Yeah. Such a glorious devotee like that. So he'll be remembered forever, because Prabhupada saw him as a very, very surrendered, a very wonderful devotee, as if those of you who listened to the letter I just wrote. He was very humble. That was one of his qualities. His humility was outstanding. Jayananda worshipped prasadam. When a little prasadam spilled on the floor, he would always bend down and lick it up. He loved to cook, offer, distribute, and eat prasadam in a big way. He would always take prasadam with him and distribute it, whether he was making a boga run or taking a chanting party downtown. He would even say prasadam in a special way that you immediately wanted to take some. Prasad. I can't do it like he did, but anyway. So we can learn what it means. We can, you know, these are the examples in our movement of how Prabhupada really inspired devotees to give their life completely to Krishna consciousness. Yes. Everybody, all the other devotees were doing that too. They were tired, and he would just keep feeding them prasadam. Just to keep them going. They wanted to please him because he was so enthusiastic and so friendly. He was very friendly to everyone. And so when he was always encouraging everyone to give more, surrender more, do more. And so he would always use prasadam to help along, to get everyone to do things. Carry samosas with him, halava, whatever. Yeah, we think, how is it possible? And he never slept during the day. No one ever saw him. No one ever saw him sleeping. Nobody can even talk about him sleep because he was the last one to go to bed and the first one up. But on average, he slept, and he would usually go to bed around 12, 1 o'clock and get up around 4. Day after day, he was like that. He wanted to use every moment for Krishna. He wanted to use every moment for Krishna. He knew life was short. He knew that Krishna consciousness was very wonderful, and he wanted to give everything to Krishna. And he had a taste. He wasn't just sentimental. He understood the philosophy clearly. Once he and one devotee named Maharaj Das was struggling to load a very heavy refrigerator onto a truck. Two drunks were walking up the alley, and Jayananda said, "I'm going to give them a chance to do some devotional service." His enthusiasm for devotional service was usually contagious, and with no exception. Those two drunks were right in there helping, and the job was done in no time. After a while, as usual, Jayananda said to the drunks, "Now say Hare! Now say Krishna! Now say Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! Jai Hare Bo! Thank you, fellas! All glories to Prabhupada." He's everybody's friend. So. Anyway, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he didn't have any money or something, and he needed a pair of pants, so he stole the pants from one of these Salvation Army stores or something like that. And then, I think he got caught, right? So what happened? He paid for it? Yeah. The policeman who arrested him paid for the plans. That was Jayananda. Couldn't find any fault with him, even if he apparently did something wrong. He was always in the service of Krishna. Yes. Did you ever meet Jayananda? No, you came a little later. Oh, he was big. Big, very handsome, very strong, very intelligent. He had all the qualities of a, what we say, first-class materialist. But he never used them in a material way. But he always had a sweet look on his face, kind of like innocent, like a child. He wasn't like heavy-duty person that you would get scared when you saw him. No, although he was big, he was very sweet. Always friendly, always encouraging. He never liked negativity. He always was always positive. Krishna consciousness is so nice and prasadam is so wonderful. That was his, he loved prasad. Those who knew Jayananda always noticed one remarkable quality about him. He could not criticize others. It was against his nature. Even if a devotee did something which warranted criticism, Jayananda would usually say nothing, or else something that made the mistake appear to be perfectly understandable. No matter who was giving class or leading kirtan, he would always appreciate. He never spoke harsh words or chastised anybody. If a devotee was criticizing another, within earshot of Jayananda, Jayananda would simply leave. I wish I had more. There's many, many events that... Yeah. Yeah. The peel he would use for something. He didn't want to waste anything. Prabhupada taught us that, never to waste anything. Always try to figure out what you could use in everything, Krishna God. So Jayananda would always think like that. Yeah, he would cook, he would clean, he would wash the pots, he did everything. Because a lot of times some of the devotees that came in, they were hippies and they were not used to working. And so he was always doing whatever is needed. Like that. Jayananda knew how to attract people to Krishna consciousness with prasadam. When a new devotee came, for example, Jayananda would see that he was sumptuously fed with prasadam. When Jambavan Das was just become a devotee, Jayananda would bring him a plate of prasadam so big that he thought he could never eat it. When he finally did finish the plate, Jayananda immediately put another identical plate before him. "I can't eat that," said Jambavan. "Srila Prabhupada said that we should eat till we waddle like a duck," said Jayananda. Jambavad would finish the second plate. Jai Sri Sri Panchatattva Ki Jai. Okay. I wish I had more, but I could read from my notes. These are not my notes. These are actually printouts, articles written by other persons about Jayananda. You want to hear more? One time a new guest came to the temple. The president asked him, "Please, can you help Jayananda with the garbage?" So he went out along with Jayananda. They were collecting garbage from all over and loading into it a garbage collector. This guest later told the devotees that throughout his life he had seen garbage collectors, but now it was his fortune to perform service for Krishna. He also revealed why he became a devotee. He was thinking, if the garbage collector is so blissful in this movement, what must the other devotees be like? I have to join this movement. I have never met such a blissful, pure, compassionate garbage collector. He was seeing Krishna even in Gaur. This is Jayananda. Let's see. I mean, we have many, many more things I can mention here. By memory, I'm pretty much out, but I do have some things here. I told the story about Rathayatra. Okay, so Hare Krishna. Take prasad. Any garbage to take out? Oh, this is nice. So there's a photo with a garland at the samadhi. Oh, wow. That's Jayananda? And they made a diorama of Jayananda with Srila Prabhupada and Jagannath. You have to show this to all the devotees.
This one, and this is Samadhi from far.
Oh, wow, that's nice. Can you post that? Post it on the site. Do you have a website here? The devotees can see it. It's really nice. That's really special. There's a diorama with Prabhupada and Jayananda together. Prabhupada is putting his hand on Jayananda's shoulders. Very special. Okay. Thank you. Jayananda Prabhu ki. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki. Or Premanande Hari Hari Go.